So this is an awesome passage of scripture. We were just reading about the crucifixion and this really brutal depiction, you know, obviously of Jesus on the cross, and he dies this death. So much prophecy is fulfilled. We have hope in Jesus, and then he rises from the grave, and now we have this new hope. We have this Easter message that we teach, and Jesus is risen, and we get to see this interaction of Mary and John and Peter at the tomb specifically. You know, it's interesting because a lot of Christianity or just a lot of life in general has to come down to this one thing: is what do we do with Jesus? Like, how do we handle Jesus? How do we respond to Jesus? Okay, when it comes to non-Christians versus Christians, obviously Christians say, well, we're going to choose to believe in Jesus. Okay, that's what it means to be a believer, to believe in Jesus. A non-believer says, well, we're going to reject Jesus. And that's where you have the huge chasm between pro-Jesus and anti-Jesus. But then there's a pretty big chasm between Christians also, right? And what Christians believe specifically. Like, I know that right now in the women's study, they're going through Romans, and there's this huge emphasis on election and predestination versus free will and this debate. Christians love to debate over this stuff. I don't know why. I can't stand it. I'm like, I don't want to sit down for 4 hours and talk to you about whether or not we were predestined to believe or whether or not we choose to believe. Like, there's obviously something going on that God understands that I don't fully understand, but there's these massive debates that happen back and forth, even down to this. Like, we were at the soccer field the other day, and my son was talking to another guy who's a believer, and my son, you know, is playing guitar. He's learning how to play all these different songs and these different intros, and my son's like, hey, so what kind of music are you into? And the guy's like, I listen to contemporary Christian music. And Elijah's like, cool, you know? And he's like, I'm learning Stairway to Heaven. You know what I mean? And then, like, the guy's like, oh, okay, great, you know? And it's just interesting because there's these debates over what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, and there's a lot of back and forth specifically between Christians and what's okay, and it really comes down to how are we interpreting God's word and what are we doing with Jesus specifically? And so today we're going to be talking about two different people, really two different groups of people, because you have Mary and then you have John and Peter, and how they respond to Jesus differently. Okay, so we're gonna start out here looking at the very beginning here. Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb early, and immediately she runs away, and she says this in verse 2, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Now, Mary Magdalene's broken. She's distraught. You can imagine a woman who's just got tears running down her face. She just lost her best friend, Messiah, Savior, this prophet who's been traveling with them. She really does love Jesus, and all of a sudden she has to witness Jesus dying on the cross, this brutal death, and then she comes to pay respects at the tomb, and she feels like someone's taken his body, taken him away, and she's just even more broken and distraught. And there's a lot of different reasons why Mary maybe just didn't immediately believe that Jesus had risen. But I think there's a few different things. One could be just she's so distraught that she's just not really thinking logically. She's not even like quite has the belief yet. Maybe it's because Jesus like she hadn't prepped her quite like she did the other disciples. But either way, she's just kind of distraught and broken right now, unsure of what's going on. Then you see this is like one of the funniest verses right here. God has a sense of humor, and obviously John has a sense of humor. But verse 3 says, Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, which is John, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. I think that's so ridiculous. Like, you know, you're mentioning this. That has no relevance. You know what I mean? I'm sure it does. Nothing's in the Bible without purpose. But it's just hilarious that John is like choosing to just give a little roast, a little jab at Peter. And he kind of does that throughout the Gospel of John. And if you ever like just read through the Gospel of John, you'll notice these funny little jabs at Peter that John does, all in fun, probably all in jest. But John would have been a little bit younger than Peter. So he's kind of like, hey, this old man's trying to get to the tomb. And I just like ran past him and got there first, right? And he gets there. But yet they have this belief that Jesus rose. They just believe it. They're just like, you know what? Jesus rose from the grave and we believe it. Next week, we're going to talk about Thomas. Y'all know Thomas. Thomas has the most, like, you know, doesn't have the worst name in Scripture, because there's some worse ones, like Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus, right? That's pretty bad to have like on your rap sheet. But Thomas is doubting Thomas. And in a world of faith, that's not really the name you want to bear. Thomas doubts. He's like, I have to see his hands. I have to see it. And he's like, better is it who believes without seeing. And I just feel like when it comes to us getting into God's word and being believers and reading God's word and having a faith-like relationship with Jesus, we would do so well to just believe what he says. Just to believe the truth that's there. Like, I want to read one verse to you and just think about the implications of how much our lives would change if we believed this verse, okay? Philippians 4. A lot of you already know where I'm going with this. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What if we believed it? I'm reading it right now, and a lot of you are like, okay, I don't believe that. Like, really? You know, and I'm not trying to call anybody out, because I read it and sometimes I don't believe it. Because I'm going through something and I'm like, that's great, God. I love that that's true, but like, I don't know if I could truly believe that in my situation, because I am anxious, because I am worried, because I really don't trust the future of where I'm headed. You know, because maybe I'm putting too much on my own shoulders, or I'm carrying too much burden on my own. But God is like, be anxious for nothing. Just pray. And pray about everything, and let me know about everything, and my peace will surpass all understanding. Which means that your stress and your worry, you're like, there is no way I'm not going to be stressed about this. I'm not going to sleep tonight. I'm going to roll around. I'm not going to be able to find a comfortable angle to sleep in. I'm going to be worrying about all the things. And God's like, no, just tell me about it, and cry out to me and tell me all the things that you're worried about, and I'm going to give you peace, and it's going to pass your own understanding. It's going to be something greater than you could achieve on your own. It's incredible. It's incredible. Belief in Jesus is this one-time moment where you're like, I either believe it or I don't. And I'm going to choose to believe, okay? I believe in Jesus. That's a one-time thing. The rest of your life is like choosing to believe in him even more. Like really choosing to believe the things that he says and to have faith and to have faith in every little promise that he has for us. There's so many other verses that would be life-changing if we just believed it. This really funny thing happens in verse 11. I mean, it's not funny that she's weeping. I'm going to sound insensitive. But what happens after that is funny. Verse 11, but Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting at one at the head, one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him. Now, when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. So you can imagine, like, tears in her eyes. She's, like, rubbing snot from her face, you know? And she turns around and she just sees this guy, and she's like, yes, where'd you put him, you know? Like, where's Jesus? And he's like, I'm right here, you know? When I got a job back in the day in San Diego. I'm from San Diego, and I worked at this restaurant called the Ocean Air. Really high-end, fine dining seafood restaurant. There's actually one in Dallas at the Galleria Mall as well. And the chef was from Top Chef, and we were right there by the convention center, and famous people would come in all the time. Okay, the problem was most of them were football players, and I didn't know who any of them were, right? Because I'm just like not a big football guy. And apparently I was the busboy, like, filling the water cup for Ray Lewis, which is this, like, really famous linebacker for the Ravens that I actually had to look up in preparation for my sermon, because I didn't even remember who he was even after meeting him. And then all the guys are like, do you know who that is? Do you know who that is? And I'm like, no, I don't know who that is, because I don't really care. But it's crazy how you could be standing in front of somebody who's a multimillionaire, just got a, you know, $40 million, three-year contract, and everybody's like, oh my goodness, look who that is. And I'm just like, I have no idea. I have no idea who it is. He's a guy whose water is less than half full, and if I don't fill it up, my manager's going to get me in trouble. That's all I cared about, right? And the thing is like, this is like a obviously different experience, but Mary just completely missed it. She just missed that Jesus was right there, behind her. She, you know, and there's this book that a few of us have been reading, which is called Experiencing God. And it has to do with just like learning to kind of tap into where God is working and what God is doing. And one of the most profound things, I remember going through this when I was 18, he says that like, God is always working. God's always working all the time. You just got to like find it. You got to see where he's doing it. And oftentimes we're like we sing these songs like Holy Spirit come, but the Holy Spirit's here, right? We're saying that symbolically that we want the Holy Spirit to intervene in our lives and to do something incredible. But God is just always working, always doing things. And oftentimes we could just miss it. And like Mary had Jesus standing right behind her, but was so distraught and so thrown off that she just missed that he was right there. I want to tell you this short story. We used to meet when we first started the church. We were meeting at the park. We were meeting outdoors at a park. I'm from San Diego, so I thought that was a great idea, you know. And out here, I'm realizing you get like 3 months out of the year at best where it's good park weather, and after that, it's way too cold, way too hot. Regardless, we're at the park. We're doing church. And every once in a while, a family would show up that wasn't even there for church. They were just there to play with their kids at the park. And it was always like this thing where my heart's beating. I'm like, I need to talk to this person. Like, we're brand new in McKinney. We got to meet new people. And I almost would never do it because I was just like too nervous to do it. But one time, the Lord was like, go talk to this guy. And I was like, I don't know. And I think I walked past him. And I'm like, I'm busy. I got other things to do. And then the Lord really pressed on my heart again. And I went back and I talked to him. And that guy actually attends our church. He's not here today, but it's Joey, who is a contractor who ended up building a lot of these walls for our church. He ended up, you know, we built some relationship, and I was like, hey, what do you do for work? He's like, oh, I'm a contractor. I build. I do renovations. I'm like, hey, do you want to build some walls for a church? He's like, sure, I'll take a look at it. You know, 2 days later, he's here. They're building walls for the church, and then he's attending the church. And then he invites a friend of theirs to come be part of our church as well, and that's Morgan and Gatlin. You guys know Morgan and Gatlin. They come, and they've been an awesome, integral part of our church as well. And then Morgan and Gatlin invite Josh and Emily to come, and then they've been an incredible part of our church. They actually, you know, Emily ended up rebranding our entire church and helping us with our website and doing all these incredible things, and Josh got baptized here, and then, I mean, it's incredible. And then another family ended up coming, it's just a cricket. This is cricket. It's a little jumpy cricket. We're all right. That'll be funny on the website recording. There's a cricket in the church. Anyways, another family ended up coming as well, another Emily. So if you know any friends that are named Emily, maybe don't invite. No, I'm joking. Invite them. But we have a lot of Emilys. But it's just incredible how I'm thinking back and I'm like, man, I had it on my heart to talk to Joey and almost just didn't at all. And if I didn't, think about all the ministry and all the families and all the incredible people we've been able to meet and the work that they've been doing here in this church, because I just didn't miss it. And then I think about how foolish I am for missing all the other opportunities when I've chosen not to obey him. And the thing is like Jesus, this is almost symbolic that Jesus is standing right behind Mary and she's crying and she's distraught and she's in her pain and he has the solution to all her pain and she sees it and looks him right in the eyeballs and turns around and says, you don't understand. You know what I mean? She doesn't say that word for word, but she just like, she misses it. And I think about in our Christian walk, how easy is it for us to miss it? Just to completely miss what God is doing. Or we see something as a distraction, or we see something as pain, or we lose a job and we're like, oh no, my whole life is over. And the Lord's like, no, I actually have a new one for you in a week that it's gonna be way better. And it's actually gonna be a lifelong career and it's gonna be incredible. It's like, but yet we're so broken and we're distraught in this mess, but God has something for you. It's not always in a week. Some of you are like, Mike, it doesn't always come in a week, and I get it. But God is so good and he's always working, and I think my heart for us is to not miss it. Just don't miss it, right? Verse 15 says, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And, you know, she thought he was the gardener. Verse 17, Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Here's a beautiful thing about it. You know, it's easy to roast Mary for lacking faith in this circumstance, okay? But in reality, God was still so faithful, and she was crying out to who? Jesus. She wanted Jesus. She was crying out because she wanted to see him and she wanted to be with him. So God's going to honor that type of heart. Okay, even though she maybe missed it and she looked around and she looked him right in the face and didn't know it was him and thought it was the gardener, she still was seeking after him. You know, 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Even when we lack faith, when we cry out to God, he still is there. I think about the disciples, when the disciples were in the boat and there was a storm and Jesus was sleeping. Do you remember that? Jesus is just taking a little afternoon nap and they're all thinking that they're going to die. And the boat's like filling up with water and the waves are crashing. And they're like, Jesus, are you just going to let us die up here? And he's like, oh, you have little faith. And he just goes like, psh. And then all the water's like a lake, you know, and it's just everyone's fine. You're like, man. I like to tell that story because it's easy, once again, to be like, why did the disciples lack faith? They were with Jesus. I don't understand why they lacked faith. But really, at the end of the day, they were crying out to who? Jesus. Who was in their boat? Jesus. They were fighting so hard to have an encounter with Jesus, and they were fearful, and they cried out to the right person. He was in their boat, at least. They were crying out to the right person. And God is so good at, even when we are faithless, bringing us back to our destination. One of the most beautiful stories you guys probably know in Scripture is the story of Jonah. Jonah's like, I'm not going to Nineveh. You know, I'm going to go to Tarshish instead. And starts cruising out that way and ends up, the cricket's slowly approaching. Sorry, guys. And ends up heading towards Tarshish, ends up getting thrown overboard, ends up almost drowning, swallowed by a giant fish, and then spit up in Nineveh. You think that was a coincidence? No, God was like, you know what? You're going to be unfaithful. You're going to lack belief and faith in me. You're going to be selfish, but yet, guess what? You're going to get barfed out in Nineveh, and you're going to fulfill the destination that I have for you. I have a calling for you, and I'm going to be faithful to finish it. Because Jonah didn't completely walk away from the Lord. He just was being selfish, like we all have tendency to be. God brought him around full circle. In my own life, I felt like, you know, when I turned about 18 was when I gave my life to Christ. And I jumped in and started doing youth ministry. And I really felt this calling in my life to do full-time ministry. Like, I'm dedicated to do this. I've never wanted to do anything else in my life. I've never been motivated to do anything. And it was like, I got saved. I'm like, I want to minister. I want to pastor. I want to shepherd. And that just came. That was something that the Lord brought into my heart. And there was this trip that was going to, was it Hungary? No, I'm talking about the one that was through, yeah. There was a ministry school. There was a ministry school that was going to Hungary, and they were going to do this, like, I forget how long it was, like 3-month trip. It was like a semester. And it was going to be like a deep dive into theology, getting into God's word, doing missions, all these incredible things in Hungary. And I'm like, the Lord wants me to go there. Like, I'm going to raise money. I'm going to do it. I went and got my passport. And then Brianna and I at the time were like talking future, talking engagement. I think at this point, maybe I was like closer to 20. We were talking about marriage. And I'm like, I just don't know if I can go and be gone for that long, and just ended up deciding not to go. And I really wish that I would have gone. But then soon after, I ended up getting a job doing tile work with my brother-in-law, like backbreaking labor, laying tile. And my brother-in-law started discipling me. And we would listen to Christian music on the way to and from there. We would listen to Christian music in the car. He started asking me questions like, hey, what are you reading in Scripture? And I'm like, oh, I'm not really reading the Bible right now. He's like, dude, read the Bible. You really going to go stand before God one day and tell him you didn't read the book? Like the one book that he gave you? It's really 66 books, but you know what I'm saying? You didn't read the book? I'm like, all right, fine, I'll read. I started reading the gospel, like the gospels, and reading God's word every morning, listening to sermons in my headphones. And after 5 years of discipleship, I realized God just took me the long route and the painful backbreaking route for me to grow in my faith the way that I needed to grow, because I chose not to go to Hungary and I knew he was calling me to do it and I said no. But guess what? Did God still fulfill his purpose? Yes. Did God still do the mission and the work that he was going to do in and through my life? Yes. It just took the long route to get there. And the thing is right here, we see Mary just like crying out to God and wanting him and just feeling so broken that he's missing and missing that Jesus was right there, and then finally seeing him and having this encounter with him. And Jesus is like, you know what I want you to tell the disciples? That I'm going to be with my Father and your Father. And I'm going to be with my God and your God. He's no longer my Father and my God only. He's your Father and he's your God. And you are co-heirs with me for eternity. And we're going to be together. And that's the message that I want you to tell to the disciples and for you to tell to the world. Such a beautiful picture here. It's a beautiful picture. And I really feel like that's kind of how I want to land this plane right now. God has called us to share this message. Our lives have been changed. For those of you who put your faith in Jesus, like, he's done something in and through you. I saw a quote this morning from Charles Spurgeon that said, you don't truly know Jesus unless you're telling others about him. You don't truly know Jesus unless you're telling others about him. That was a Spurgeon quote. Like, man, that's powerful. That's powerful, because if God has truly changed your heart and changed your mind, then it's going to come out. You're going to have to share with other people. It's going to be overflowing because your life is so drastically changed. And I want to encourage you with that. God has such a special purpose for you, for each and every one of you in this room. He's called you to something. He has something beautiful that he wants for you. He wants you to go and be his witnesses who are going to share his truth with the world. Don't miss it. Don't miss the opportunities. And I'm telling you right now, the opportunity will probably show up whether or not you look for it. But if you wake up in the morning and say, Lord, show me. Give me the opportunity. Tell me who it is that I'm supposed to speak to today. That person will be highlighted, like with a green highlighter. You know what I mean? You'll see it and you'll be focused on it, and God will do something incredible if you're willing to step out in faith. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this incredible piece of scripture, this story of you rising from the grave and folding your own linen cloths and reappearing to Mary Magdalene and to the disciples. God, the fact that you overcame sin and death, God, is just so, so incredible and so life-changing for us. Because you have risen, we have hope for resurrection, Lord. Because you died on the cross, we could have our sins forgiven. God, I thank you so much for the incredible work that you've done so that we can have life, so we can have hope. And Lord, I pray that as we walk in faith, Lord, that we would be like the disciples that would just walk up and say, yep, the cloths are there. He's risen. I believe it. Your word says, don't be anxious. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for solution for whatever it is that I'm going through. And I'm going to believe that your peace is going to surpass my own understanding. And when I open up your word, whenever I do it, hopefully daily, I'm going to open it up and I'm going to read it and I'm going to believe it. It's not just going to be head knowledge, but I'm going to apply it. It's going to affect my heart and my life and my mind. God, let us be those people that believe your truth, that walk in faith. And God, I also pray that as Revive Church, as we start heading out into this community more, especially in the coming weeks, in the coming months, Lord, we would be bold to share your truth and to not miss the incredible God moments that you have for us, Lord. So, Father, let us walk in faith. Let us believe your truth. And let us make an impact in the world, Lord. We love you, God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Let's hang out. Let's all get to know each other a little bit better. Eat some donuts, drink some cold brew. God bless you, church.